and welcome to Last Man Standing, here with me, Paul Stevenson, live, well, actually not quite live, but almost, here on Republic Broadcasting Network on this Sunday, the 2nd of June 2024. Do remember to keep us on the air, folks, and go to the Republic Broadcasting Network homepage, and you will see the various donate options there. It's very important to keep an organization and a radio show like this and a network like this on the air, where we can talk about everything. Okay, I am joined by Dr. Patrick Slattery. Thank you for joining me, Patrick.
Oh, well, thank you for having me.
Good. You're very welcome.
And Patrick's okay. The doctor stuff is nice, but it's not required.
Okay, well, I'm sure you've earned it, so we'll throw it in there when I remember. All right. We've been talking a lot in recent weeks about the situation and the precarious escalations in Russia and Ukraine and things like that, and also in the Middle East. And I'm going to change the subject slightly today to more sort of domestic European demographic and cultural issues, which obviously we talk about a lot over the years as well, but we haven't done a little while in terms of the main focus. The first thing I want to do is put a request out to all our listeners to go to Patriotic Alternatives website and support the various petitions and options you have available to you there, even as an American citizen, for the cause of Sam Melia and his family. There has been an escalation and in the persecution of Sam Melia, who is now in prison for the great crime of producing car stickers which say White Lives Matter. He is in prison for that. And there's nothing illegal about what he did. You're familiar with this case, Patrick, are you?
I am familiar with it, yes. So Sam he's married to Laura Trower, correct?
Yes, and she co-hosts with Mark Collett on the Patriotic Alternative live stream they do. Do they do that every day or it's every week, I think?
And my, I think it's weekly. My understanding is that the judge had determined that while the production of the stickers in and of itself wasn't illegal and nobody has been harmed, Sam's intent, what he had in his heart, was to discriminate against black and brown people, and that's why he's being punished. Correct me if I'm inaccurate about that.
No, that's largely my understanding. They deemed that no act of criminality had taken place, but that, yes, it's what you said. It's like what's in his heart, and the intention was to essentially, cause harm to, ethnic minorities, etc., to be divisive and the usual type of...
You have a special term you use, like it's an acronym, Black, Asian, immigrant, something. Isn't there like a four-letter acronym that's in common parlance in Britain?
Yes, there is. I'm trying to remember it now. It's BAME. I think it's Black, Asian, Minority. What's the E? I'm not sure. I can't remember exactly. But yeah, I think it's BAME.
Ethnic. Isn't the E ethnic?
Maybe ethnic, yeah. Ethnicity, maybe. But, the judge basically deems the law in terms of, and depending on who's sitting in front of him. I mean, Sam Melia, pretty gentle guy. I've seen Sam Melia. I haven't actually spoken to him directly, but I've obviously been involved with Patriotic Alternative myself and speaking there at the conference and been to the, you know, the various camping events that they have. I've seen Sam around. He's a pretty chilled out kind of a guy. He's got, I think, a one-year-old daughter, maybe even younger, but I think a one-year-old daughter. And no, I think he's got a maybe a two-year-old daughter and another very young daughter as well, who's like, you know, I think only maybe 4 or 5 months old. Now, the development in this case is that he was in a prison in Leeds for 3 months and was pretty well treated and as a pretty peaceful guy, had some rewards for good behavior and all that sort of stuff. Was then moved to a prison in Hull, which is also in the north of England. And since then, there has been developments whereby he has essentially been stopped from communicating with his own children. They can't even send pictures. His wife can't even send pictures of him. They're not allowed to talk about his children on the phone. All sorts of restrictions, which are extremely aggressive, cutting him off from his children, based on the fact that he's a danger, basically, to minors. You know, he because of his racist views, he's a danger to his own children. Now, this is beyond shocking. And this is why I'm telling everybody listening to go to patrioticalternative.com. You will find out all the information on this case and these recent developments. But I know our listeners there in America are pro-family. Probably many of you, if not all of you, will have children of your own. And this is the development which was not handed out at his sentence, but has been a development recently. So you can now imagine, you know, the suffering that the guy's already experiencing and his wife. But now he's been cut off from his children in this manner, you know. So this is a horrendous act of abuse of the judiciary, of the police, of the prison, you know, the prison activity itself in the UK. It really is shocking beyond words. I don't know why you're aware of this latest update, but maybe if you're talking to Mark Collett, he'll mention it to you the next time you're speaking to him.
Which would be pretty soon. That would probably be in about 24 hours.
Okay, well, I'm sure he will mention it. But, you know, if you can't take a stand for this, what can you take a stand for? You know, it really is something, I think, that when that level of abuse takes place, something snaps. It kind of snapped in me, anyway, where you think, okay, the gloves are off, you know? I mean, I think you've got two types of people. Well, they're like, that will intimidate you, but I think this has to bring conviction to those with any kind of principles, testicular fortitude, whatever you want to call it. So anyway, as I say, get behind it, because there are petitions there to sign to the British government, to the British prison organizations, and the various options that are available there to you. So I just wanted to mention that, and you will see the scale of the abuse that is occurring here against this guy. And of course, it's designed to send out a signal. It's designed to deter. And I think that was part of the wording that the judge used as well, that more or less, you know, I'm paraphrasing, but okay, you haven't done anything illegal, but we need to make an example of you just to send a message. So they're sending a message to everyone. If you want to go down this path, well, this is what can happen to you.
Yeah. You know, it's hard to know what to say. So,
it is.
You know, on the one hand, you've got...
it does leave you speechless.
Well, yeah. Am I muted?
Okay, no,
am I muted?
Okay, I can good. Hear you.
Yeah, all right. So, like, you know, on the one hand, you've had these prosecutors in the United States who have made announcements like, well, as long as you don't take more than $900 worth of stuff, you can shoplift as much as you want. We're not going to prosecute you. And all, you know, all sorts of crime being effectively legalized, black crime in particular, as long as it doesn't, it's not a protest against the Jewish genocide in Gaza, and you know, you can do pretty much what you want. And then massive crackdowns elsewhere. Obviously, right now, I'm not much of a fan of Donald Trump because of his support for, because he's decided that he's going to cry uncle after all the abuse he's been through. He's crying uncle, and he's just going to support whatever the Jews want in Gaza. But, you know, his prosecution's a farce. What else you have? Alex Jones. I was just reading that Alex Jones is about to get shut down. Now, why is he getting shut down? He's getting shut down because I suppose it was a civil case against him over his statements that Sandy Hook was a hoax, that nobody died, and that the suffering, the pain and suffering of the families at Sandy Hook's required him to pay, what was it, like, it was many billions of dollars?
Everything he had.
Yeah, times 100, right? It was just some sort of ridiculous figure of billions of dollars. And then, and apparently now he's got word that they're actually going to come and seize his studio. Now, he's not, again, he's not the most sympathetic character to me. And who knows, you know, you never know with him. There's a video of him crying on air. Who knows? But you've got massive crackdowns. And yet there are also people. So there's this character, Tim Pool, who is, has a popular podcast amongst people who I suppose want to be bored to sleep. Maybe it's amongst the insomniacs, and they like getting bored to sleep. But it's a big podcast. Yeah, well, he always wears a hat. He always wears a beanie hat, which is kind of weird. And you know, I know he's got thinning hair or whatever, but come on. And then he had there on goes,
there, goes, there goes my beanie hat idea for my thinning hair.
Yeah, don't go there. Don't go there. He's spoiled it for everybody. But but he had on Laura Loomer. Laura Loomer is some pro-Trump Zionist Jew, but she's, you know, sometimes she's on the right side of issues and she's outspoken. But at any rate, she was on his Timcast. He calls it the Timcast. He's Tim Pool. And she started calling for the execution of Democrats who were behind the coup d'etat against Trump. And he pulled the plug on it and removed it immediately. But, you know, there are people who do all sorts of Fed posting. And, you know, I'm not going to try to make judgments on them, whether, you know, they're Feds themselves or what. There's one guy who, have you ever heard of Stu Peters?
I don't think so.
Okay, well, Stu Peters is somebody, did he come out of the Alex Jones network? He came out of somewhere, I'm not sure. And he apparently was a former bounty hunter, and he's got a popular show, and I guess a popular, does he have a Twitter feed, or does he have a Telegram feed? I'm not sure. And he says edgy stuff, and he calls for extreme accountability for the people who are currently in power. And what is extreme accountability? Well, it's the death penalty. So he's out there calling for, he says, once we, like, to me, this is just weird, but once we wrestle the power from the people who currently have the power, we're going to execute them. Good luck with that. Well, not really. Is that really something that you would want to telegraph to people? You know, the people who have the power now, have the power, obviously, to take somebody like Mr. Mille. What was his first name? I'm sorry, I should know this.
Sam Mille.
Take him and throw him in jail. Take other people, just throw them in jail. They've got the power now. Julian Assange just rotting.
Stop them from seeing their children.
Yeah. Somebody who's a relative. I'm not going to call I'm not going to call him a normie exactly, but he's just a regular working guy.
Who's
or
Sam?
Somebody like Julian. Yeah, or just somebody like Julian Assange, who's a you know, a journalist type, or ran a website, and look what they're doing. They have the power to power and the willingness to just take people and put and imprison them.
And
I'm not saying that this proves Stu Peters is some sort of plant or anything. You know, maybe they'll get around to him at some point, or maybe not. I don't know. Maybe there's certain types of Fed posting that you're allowed to do because of whatever. I don't know. But anyway, I'm just throwing some stuff out there. I'll kick it back to you.
Yeah, I mean, I think when you look at the kind of abuses that take place, it's how should I put it? One could probably relate to the anger, let's say, to want to wrestle power back, and once power has been wrestled back, to, you know, hang, execute certain leaders that, you know, are so abusive and so cold and so traitorous. You know, you can go down a long list, Tony Blair, our current leaders, you know. So, yeah, it's understandable. But, like, yeah, you know, to have those feelings of anger, I mean, it's not nothing wrong with feeling that level of anger. I think you would be something wrong if you didn't. But, yeah, like you said, it's a pretty extreme thing to say on air, to, you know, to say publicly. I don't really know what to say. I don't know. I don't know the guy myself. Is his podcast popular?
Yeah, my mute was on. So if we're talking about Stu Peters, he is popular. And one thing I'll give him credit for is over the past few months, he started talking about Jewish power. And this is absolutely important. You know, there are plenty of people who have been able to become popular and make a good living talking about the problems, but then not identifying really who's behind the problems. You know, it's easy to say, like if you're Alex Jones, it's Nazis, right? It's Nazis. Or it's globalists, or it's, you know, some sort of weird cartel or something. But in recent months, Stu Peters started talking about Jews specifically. And I think he's probably been having the extreme accountability thing a lot longer than that. But if you're talking about Jews specifically, and then you're talking about extreme accountability, I don't know. I'm almost reluctant to talk about it on air, except he does. His internet appearances on his own show or other people's shows where he's saying these things have a lot bigger listenership, a lot bigger audience than we have on our RBN. So I guess no harm in me repeating some of the things he's saying, but I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this is another topic I was going to, you know, bring up after I had spoken about Sam Mille, because I felt so convicted to talk about that. And, you know, I also say to any of the hosts who are listening, you know, who are not aware of the Sam Mille situation, to, you know, educate yourselves about it and put the word out about it, because we need to push back on that. You know, we can't just simply be intimidated by the treatment of someone like Sam Mille. But anyway, yeah, the other topic, like you said, there are, it is a frustration of mine when I see, you know, people with big reach, big YouTube channels, huge amounts of views on videos, subscribers and everything else, who, you know, some of which I listen to, some of which I don't. You know, you could look at the Duran, you could look at, you know, Alexander Mercuris, for example, when it comes to geopolitical stuff, or even Judge Napolitano. You know, one wonders, why is it, and I say this with a wink, but why is it that my little YouTube channel, which I barely focused on, but occasionally I would upload some interviews I did to that channel. I didn't, you know, go down the I'm a YouTuber route. I occasionally, you know, put up some interviews that I'd done with people like Kevin MacDonald, E. Michael Jones, Andrew Joyce, and some other videos with Christian apologists, particularly, you know, people like Gary DeMar, you know, who pushed back on this biblical basis for Christian Zionism, and Steve Gregg, who also had talked to him about that. But why is it my little channel was squashed and I had so many strikes or so many warnings to the point that it was completely futile even attempting to continue with it? And these other channels, which are discussing narratives which are against the mainstream narrative with geopolitics and even cultural issues at home, why aren't they, you know, why are they being allowed to not only continue but flourish?
Well, I mean, it's a good question, and there may not be a real answer. I tend to think that Jewish power structure is a lot more decentralized than most people understand, and because the Jewish power structure dominates our society, then I think by extension, you can say the power structure, the powers that be in our society are a lot more decentralized. And so if everything was very centralized and, you know, the control structures were set up very rationally and everything, you would think that the people who are most dangerous are to the power system, to power structure. That they're going to be taken down first, but what we see is it's almost a lot more random, and you see people like you or I who have our relatively small YouTube channels taken down, and then some other people are, you know, roaming around saying kind of extreme things, and I'm not saying it's because they're plants or they're in on it or anything like that. I think it could very well be that. So much of this is kind of piecemeal. It's, you know, they're just doing what's the term for it? Ad hoc. I think a lot of the response from the powers that be is ad hoc, and you know, people come onto their radar screen. It's not exactly random, but it's not as systematic as people would think. So,
but there is probably a theme where you can actually say a lot as long as you don't say one thing, as long as there's a certain group who remain unidentified.
Well, this is true. And one thing that's happening is right now, because of what's going on in Gaza and because of the, reaction from very large, high-profile parts of the Jewish power structure, like you know, the mega donors who were on the conference call with the mayor of New York telling him to shut it down. I mean, this is very widely publicized, such as, you know, the mega donors. Mega donor is now becoming an anti-Semitic trope or something, but who insisted that the presidents of major universities like Harvard and University of Pennsylvania, that they shut down the protest, and if they didn't shut them down fast enough, they got fired. You look at the speed with which Congress has proposed and in some cases passed really extreme pro-censorship, pro-Jewish bills. I mean, the one that got passed, withholds funding from the Department of Education for universities that don't shut down protests that are deemed anti-Semitic, and that receive complaints like civil rights complaints from Jews, and the working definition of anti-Semitism included in the bill is this International Holocaust Remembrance Society's definition, which includes, I mean, that is so broad, not just criticism of Israel, but big hunks of, say, the Book of John or parts of the New Testament are anti-Semitic. And I mean, you could have situations where students are, a Jewish student could be offended by somebody preaching the New Testament, and if the university doesn't shut down that person's platform, then they would face losing federal funding. Okay, but then there's also bills that haven't been passed, but they've been proposed and are now in committee. They'll probably never be passed, but just to show the rank, what do you call it, ass kissing, I can't think of a better word, of some of these Congress critters, to provide Israeli IDF, IDF, the Israeli Defense Forces, it should be the IGF, the Israeli Genocide Forces, but supply them with the same federal perks that American military get, American veterans get. So treat Israeli veterans the way we treat American veterans, with health care forever and subsidized housing loans and things like that. And then there's this one last bill I'll mention before I kick it back to you. To anybody convicted of some sort of crime for protesting against the Gaza genocide, is it limited to universities? But anybody convicted of some sort of crime, disturbing the peace or trespassing or whatever, would be sent to Gaza for 6 months community service, so that they could be murdered by the IDF, by the IGF.
Yeah.
So, I mean, with all of this going on, people are noticing at rates that they never did before. And sometimes when people are new to these things, new to noticing, sometimes they're the newbies are the most extreme people. And so maybe they will call for drastic measures, extreme accountability or whatnot.
Yeah. Well, it brings me on nicely to my next topic. Because sadly, it seems that some people who are not noticing, conveniently perhaps, are a lot of people in the so-called, as they're labeled by the British press, the ultra-nationalist group.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Easeoff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Ease-Off, LLC. 417-932-6419.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few highlights. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I have been using Extendivite for many years. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email proudsouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
I'm so excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass fed and grass finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork raised the way nature intended.
Did you know that essential oils have had a multitude of natural health and skin uses in history, but have been somewhat forgotten by recent civilization? Susanna's Secret offers 100% pure and natural oils at prices you can actually afford. Do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the one in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you will see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Purifica, another one of our products used to clean and freshen your house or give a natural scent when drying laundry. For that special lady, we offer a ginger argan oil in a beautiful cosmetic bottle or a pure argan oil, a natural acne-fighting product. Check us out at SusannaSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S SusanAnnasSecret.com. SusanAnnasSecret.com.
Conveniently, perhaps, are a lot of people in the so-called, as they're labelled by the British press, the ultra-nationalist group, led up by Tommy Robinson, who held a big rally yesterday in London. And you mentioned the themes of this aggressive censorship. You mentioned this could include John's Gospel and the Gospels themselves and the writings of Paul and the words of Jesus Christ himself. Because among that big march yesterday were the themes of, you know, Tommy Robinson, I quote, this is a Christian country, and they had a guy on there who was, he's a priest. I think he's, I think he's a priest of the Church of England, but he was, like, I don't know if he was kicked out of the Church of England or just disillusioned with it for obviously good reasons. But, you know, among those themes was also about the censorship and the persecution of certain groups and the politicization of the judicial system, because Tommy Robinson has obviously been in prison, and about free speech, all those types of things. But yet they don't seem to be consistent or aware, if they are, they certainly didn't talk about it, about what's happening in the United States, about suddenly how the GOP particularly, and that the right, if you want to put it that way, in the US, have suddenly embraced censorship when it comes to this one issue. For those who are Christians, it doesn't seem as if they've read the details of that bill, which, like you said, would actually, you know, result in, you know, persecution of preaching the gospel, essentially. So, because, you know, they have, in part of one of the videos they did, they had a video up in the large screen with this priest talking, and they had, you know, which included him talking about, you know, the cause of Jews and how they are not safe in the UK anymore, this type of thing. You have Israeli flags waving in the audience. You have Tommy Robinson quoting how the police have been policing heavily the counter-protesters against the pro-Palestinian marches, and how, and he did go as far to say, he used the word anti-Semitic, slogans such as from the river to the sea, and waving Palestinian flags and everything else. So, yeah, among that march in the UK, you've got all these themes, which seem to be lost on these people. You know, what's happening in the United States when it comes to this issue. And one wonders, you know, for people like us, you know, where do we find some common ground, you know, where there could be a uniting, because there was a lot of people there, but yet they seem to be so pro-Jew, pro-Israel, ignore these issues while they're talking about the preaching of the gospel, ignore the fact that for 2,000 years the Jews have been the enemy of the gospel, not the Muslims. Even though, notwithstanding, I understand we've got, you know, a problem with the rising demographics of Islam and abuses in the country, like the grooming gangs and things like that. But just give us your comments on that, because, you know, it's quite frustrating, because they, you know, they talk about free speech. They talk about the selective policing. They talk about Christianity, but yet they support Israel. They've ignored this issue of you know, heavy censorship in the U.S. I find it disappointing and disconcerting, and it's difficult to know exactly why you know, that it's not mentioned at all. You know, I'm rambling a little bit, but just give us your thoughts, and I'll hand it back over to you.
So, because there's been a taboo on discussing Jewish power, there are lots of people who are the new term is influencer. There are a lot of influencers who have been able to build a career where they, maybe they can feel good about themselves because they're getting a lot of important information out. But the trade-off for that is they have to abide by the taboo on discussing Jewish power, which is at the root of the bulk of our problems. I mean, it just is. You know, if you're talking about the wars, talking about the mass immigration, you're talking about the anti-whiteness. This is what we've been talking about on this show today and over the weeks, and Jewish power structures at the root of all of this. And so what do? They can't talk about the Jewish power structure, so they talk about alternatives. And so you've got lots of people who are, focused. Well, like in Tommy Robinson's case, he'll focus on Islam. And maybe, I don't know about Tony Robinson, but, you know, in America, the Democrats, or they're all communists. This is a communist plot. Even the word cultural Marxism rubs me the wrong way, because it's not cultural Marxism. It's like a Jewish power play. Karl Marx himself never talked about all this stuff that he had lots of wacky ideas. He actually had some very sound observations, but he also had some wacky ideas. But he wasn't pushing a tranny agenda or anything like that. Not that I'm trying to come to the defense of Karl Marx, but in America, like China, right? And I was talking to somebody recently. I'm not going to say whom, but he's an influencer. He's somebody who's pretty well known in his sphere, and he's only recently, he described himself to me as being somebody who's pro-Israel. And had traveled around with Israelis, although he had always told them, hey, you know, you shouldn't be treating Indians or brown people the way you do. You treat them as if they're not really humans. Okay. Kevin McDonald has an article on the UNCE review that's near the top of the page right now that will explain some of that. But now he's seeing what's going on in Gaza and seeing the massive support for it in Israel and by and large in the United States. You know, there are Jews in the United States who are coming out very forcefully against it. But by and large, the Jewish power structure is supporting this. And it's gotten him awakened. And he was telling me, well, you know, I'm being called an anti-Semite, and I find it very liberating to say F you to these people. Okay, fine. But for the past, 10 years or 20 years, he's been scapegoating China for everything that goes wrong in the United States. Now, are you starting to become aware that China doesn't run the United States through its proxy Beijing Joe Biden? No, it doesn't. It's, if what I'm hoping to see is a lot of people who had a lot of weird ideas that they might have believed in, because these narratives are allowed to circulate freely and gain some momentum about who's ruling the country, whether it's Nazis or communists or Chinese or Jesuits or whatever, now that the mask is really coming off of the Jewish power structure in the United States, and some of these people are starting to talk about Jewish power in ways that they never did before, are they going to realize The scapegoats, the boogeymen that they've been talking about for all these years, are just that? And will they back off from it? That's what I'm curious to see.
Yeah, I mean, I think in the UK they have your average Tommy Robinson supporter, your average person at that rally yesterday, and it's difficult to know for sure. You could have two types of people. You could have people who do know about the Jewish thing, who do disagree with the what's happening with the Israeli thing and the censorship in America, but they go along because they support 90% of what Tommy Robinson affirms, which I probably do, and I think that's the frustration. There's a lot of things you do agree with, but then there's certain things that not only do you not agree with, but they seem to just be leaving out. And I think in the case of a lot of those people, maybe they don't even know. Or they've got this sort of deep-seated alignment with Jews a misguided alignment with Jews because of a lack of knowledge, certainly a lack of knowledge of history, a lack of knowledge perhaps in the aggressive role of Jews in immigration, because that's the frustrating thing. You have these people moaning about Islam, which is a symptom. I mean, who opened the gates, you know? Who pushed for the gates to be open? Notwithstanding, you have non-Jews in our political establishment, the Tony Blairs of this world, and every politician since, you know, who continue to do their bidding. These people, I think, are actually worse than the Jews, in my opinion. You know, complete traitors. Most of them bought and paid for. Some of them misguided, but I think most of them just bought and paid for. Traitors. But, you know, I think in this case of Palestine, a lot of them have fallen for this trap where, for example, in our mainstream media over here, Sky News, BBC, those big guys, you know, they will support Black Lives Matter. They will support climate change activists. You know, they will support any revolutionary movement which is, you know, against the West, against white people, against Christianity. And so with this Palestine thing, it's all been lumped in. And it kind of ignores the fact that there, you know, there probably is a lot of those people who support Palestine's cause who are like that. They're revolutionaries. They are the same people who, you know, go to Black Lives Matter rallies, that go to climate change rallies, that go to anything anti-Western, anti-white and stuff like that. And so what these media, you know, big media groups are doing is, you know, under the guise of supporting the cause of Palestinians, it's essentially this kind of anti-colonialism, anti-imperialism, anti-white colonialism narrative, and essentially anti-white. Whereas people like us, we're like, okay, well, we're not Black Lives Matter supporters or any of these other revolutionary anti-white Western groups. We happen to be in the category that, you know, we're not anti Israel necessarily. I mean, but how can you not be anti-Israel when you look at their behavior? And we're not anti-Semitic based on the fact that Jews are just Jews, ignoring the fact, you know, their behavior. You know, so, but we're actually anti-mass slaughter, anti-ethnic cleansing, anti-genocide. But at that march yesterday, they, in amongst all the other things that we may agree with, they are putting up slogans like, you know, from the river to the sea is anti-Semitic, ignoring the fact that, is it okay if Benjamin Netanyahu says it? Because he has said it. So, you know, I think some of these people are just confused. What do you think?
Why wouldn't there be mass confusion? You know, why wouldn't there be? Because the, you know, I try not to say things like the truth as if I've got some sort of monopoly on the truth. But, you know, you look at what's going on in Gaza in particular, which is the state of Israel, and it's carrying out what's very, very obviously an ethnic cleansing. Well, it's a genocide. It's not that I think they want to kill all 2.2 million, although a lot of important Jews in Israel do. But that's not, I think the actual policy is to kill enough Palestinians in Gaza to get the remaining Gazans to want to leave and to get the sympathetic people in other countries willing to accept them. And it could, they could carry it off. So far, the Gazans, I don't know how many want to leave or not, but they don't have that option right now because there's nowhere to go. The Egyptians aren't taking them because they know they'll never go back. And the right now, there's no other way out. Apparently, that pier that the Biden administration built isn't viable. So, but I mean, it's so obvious. And you can look at other things like, you know, you look at Ukraine, where the Ukrainian government is just yanking young men off of the streets to join the old men that are already at the front lines so that they can all die. Ukraine, who was it? Somebody said, I think it was Tucker Carlson. Tucker Carlson, of all people, said that Ukraine's not going to exist anymore. They're depopulating it through throwing all the young men into a meat grinder, and then they're just going to import a bunch of third worlders and replace the population.
Yeah, well,
And so, to wrap up the thought, there's so much going on. We're on the brink of everything, and in these two major instances I'm bringing up, especially the Gaza one, it's obviously a Jewish agenda. Now, there are some people who are going to be willing, some white people who are going to be willing to take the blame for it. Well, it's white supremacy. It's all white supremacy. But there's a lot of confusion. A lot of people are waking up. But the thing is, I think the obvious explanation for what is going on is repressed. It may be not completely irrepressible, and so people are catching on to it. But the thing is that when people catch on to something new and they don't have, you know, people who have better explanations about what's going on, who have been doing this for years and years and years, like David Duke or Kevin McDonald, are pretty much banned from the public sphere. So as people are waking up, they're waking up in a very, I don't know, what would you call it? A confused manner. So I'll kick it back to you before I rant anymore.
Yeah, confused and probably incrementally. But yeah, to that point, you know, when you look at what's happening in Ukraine, you know, it's hard to not at least suspect that whatever other reasons, and you hear a lot of analysts scratching their head as to what is the reason behind this war in Ukraine, because, you know, you just see more and more, you know, like you said, you know, Ukrainian men being thrown into that meat grinder. And of course, you've had so many people have fled the country that, and of course, you've got who's at the helm of all this? Zelensky. And who is Zelensky but a Jew? It's hard to conclude that is at least a possibility that you have an extreme genocide, actually, an ethnic cleansing operation going on in Ukraine, and that place has been depopulated. And, well, who's going to repopulate it? Like you said, it could be third worlders, or could it be Jews themselves as some sort of backup plan if it all goes wrong in Israel? Because things are not looking good for Israel. Don't forget also, these are people who populated. Don't forget also, you have people like Tony Blinken and Victoria Nuland and Marek Garland, whose backgrounds and ancestry go back to that particular area, and who have a huge resentment and a chip on their shoulder about pogroms and everything else. I spoke to you before about the population of Jews in Odessa, for example, about a century, a little bit more than a century, was about 33% of the population. It's hard not to suspect that could be part of the equation here, you know?
Well, you know, there are people who have been talking about that type of thing for a while, and I don't know if they're like, I'm reluctant to say this was the plan, because I'm not really a the plan kind of person. I think there are a lot of people have a lot of plans, and it's also
very difficult to know.
Mm-hmm. And it's difficult to know. It's not like in some cases people are pretty open about what their plans are, but just because Netanyahu has a plan, or somebody writing at a particular journal is making a proposal, doesn't mean that scripts are being followed according to that plan. But and you know, there's a saying, the best laid plans of mice and men, is probably something from Shakespeare. I wouldn't know. Most plans or most predictions don't come to pass, but there are so many plans or so many predictions out there that some of them are bound to more or less come to pass, even if it wasn't due to the efforts of the people making the prediction or the people making, devising the plan. Things can still work out that way. And I think we have to be careful. Yeah.
Well, I will say this one thing. One thing is for sure. It's very hard to make predictions, particularly when it's about the future.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It's a lot easier to make predictions about the past. Yeah. and then of course there are people who make zillions of predictions. There's
was that Yogi Berra said that? Good. It's hard to make predictions, particularly when it's about the future.
that's something like he would say, Yogi Berra was, Yogi Berra. was a very profound. But there's people who have made, I can't remember the guy's name. Peter Schiff, I think, has been credited with predicting 27 out of the past 3 economic crises.
Mm.
Yeah. And so,
Peter Schiff, I quite like Peter Schiff, actually. He's got some good things to say. I haven't listened to him in a while, but yeah.
I haven't either, and maybe I'm not being fair, but I wasn't the person who made it, who said that. Somebody else said it about him.
Yeah, to some extent, he's like a broken clock, though. If you keep saying the same thing, you're bound to be right at some point. But he does understand economics and the whole financial and economic system very well. I think ultimately he'll be proven right. But it's just he's been, he will argue he's been way ahead of the game. Whereas, you could argue that, if you were so knowledgeable, you were predicting it would have taken a lot longer than you think. But I have some sympathy with him because I thought our whole Western economic and financial system would have collapsed by now, but somehow it hasn't, it's managed to survive, but I still think it will just implode at some point, But we are probably close to the end of our show. Well, yep. We are close to the end of our show. That is one prediction I can make accurately. Any closing thoughts, Patrick?
No. Thank you for having me on again.
You're very welcome. And everyone, thank you for listening. Do check out Patriotic Alternatives website and do whatever options are available there to you to support the cause of Sam Melia, who's in prison and who's now been told he's been cut off from his children, including even when he's having phone calls with his wife, even talking about his children. These phone calls are obviously monitored, but you can go to the Patriotic Alternative website and you can listen to Mark Collett on Patriotic Weekly Review on Odyssey and BitChute and Rumble, and he did an hour show with Laura Tyler, Sam Melia's wife, breaking all this down. Anyway, I will be back again next Sunday. What date will that be? The 9th. And again, thank you everyone for joining me. Take care and God bless.
Get More Tank will save you money every month on gas. I'm Dave Von Kleist, and I noticed increased performance after my first tank of gas. My mileage increased by 2.5 miles per gallon, and I'm saving money on every fill-up. Get More Tank is American-made, is used by trucking companies and heavy industry, and is now available to the public. Get More Tank works in any gas or diesel engine, cleans your engine, improves performance, reduces emissions, and you'll feel it every time you step on the gas. If you're an owner-operator, farmer, heavy equipment operator, or use any kind of engine from chainsaws, leaf blowers, lawnmowers, ATVs, you name it. Contractors, electricians, plumbers, painters, lawn service companies, Get More Tank will save you money and extend the life of your equipment. Hey, if you've got an engine, then Get More Tank. Save your money, save your engine. Reduce your emissions and save the earth with GetMoreTank.com. A 5-pack of GetMoreTank.com is only $22.22 plus shipping. Use the promo code Republic Broadcasting and get 10% off. Get More Tank is EPA registered, doesn't void warranties, and results vary. GetMoreTank.com.
This is RBN.